Welcome to the Sister Space podcast with me, Grace Victory.
And me, Simone Powderly, but you may know me as Simba.
The Sister Space podcast is a remembrance of our power and a safe space to be. A space to dissect important, relevant and sometimes difficult topics.
From periods to pop culture, from spiritual development to personal battles, healing is our focus and open conversation is the bridge to help us get there.
A place where nothing is too taboo and everything is free from judgment.
We hope you enjoy this episode. Please share and follow us on Instagram at the Sister Space Podcast.
Thanks for listening. There was a countdown and everything, I just missed you. Probably missed my cue.
It's like a little heartbeat.
Soz hands.
So we are with Jess.
Hi.
AKA the fat funny one.
That's me. People get mad awkward at that name.
Yeah, like, I need to introduce her. The fat funny one.
The fat funny one. Thank you.
There you go.
Own it, hands. Yeah. Babes. Yes.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, for those that don't know, because you do a lot. Like, you've just walked in now.
I just walked in from work, for my day job work. So I run a recruitment consultancy, like a HR consultancy. I don't want to say recruitment, because then people think I'm a recruitment consultant, and I'm not. And then I have two kids, one's six, one's one, two girls. I have a husband who's like a third kid, with more demands and more needs. And then obviously I write a blog.
Yeah.
And then I have my socials, and then I run empowerment events for women. What else do? Cook, cleaner, you know.
Do you sleep? I know people like to
people
ask you.
People ask me this question all the time.
Sleep?
I sleep, I probably sleep about 5 hours a night. So I go to bed normally between 11 and 12, and my alarm goes off at 4:45.
No. Do you still breastfeed?
No, I've only just stopped the last, maybe the last month. So she's just turned 14 months, so I've just stopped breastfeeding. My titties are on my
titties. Sleep is so important.
Grace needs 10 hours.
I need like minimum 8 hours a night. If I don't have 8 hours, I don't feel like I can live. And you having 5 a night just makes my heart break.
I'm used to it though.
Yeah.
I'm used to it.
Is that because you've got kids or because of everything else that you do?
Probably because since I've had the kids. So Sophia's not too bad. My eldest is fine. The baby's a baby. So I got used to having broken sleep again. But I've always gotten up early to go to work.
Okay.
So wherever I've worked, I've always got a contract to somewhere really far away. So like I've always either worked in the city and had to drive into London. So I'm just used to it. So my body's just used to it. So I just get up. Don't get me wrong, my alarm goes at 4:45. I get out of bed at about 5:15.
Okay, so you have to lay there to reevaluate your life every
literally,
morning.
Literally, every morning I'm like, what the hell are you doing, Jess? Like, just get up, get up. No, don't get up, get up. Sometimes I like leave a snack out in the kitchen. So I'm like motivated.
I love that.
So like, so I'm like, oh, you left that snack out last night. Okay, well, go downstairs, go downstairs. And then once I'm out of bed,
I'm fine.
But yeah, it is hard. Although this morning wasn't hard because the kids were in bed as well. So everyone was just kicking me and I was getting stressed. I was like, you know what, bun all of you. And I got out. I was like, bye. So I'm used to it.
So in terms of like what you're about, would you say like you're a mummy blogger? Like how did it, like,
your Instagram.
Yeah. How, like, what is your platform like?
So when I started, I actually started as a weight loss account.
This is years ago.
Yeah, I think I remember you from Slimming World.
Yeah,
because
I think you've made followed me from when I was in Slimming World.
Yeah, ages.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now you've
never. Never in a million years. Like so I did Slimming World. So I started as a weight loss account. I kind of grew a bit of a following. I maybe got up to like 10,000 followers.
Yeah.
And then I just reevaluated my whole life and was like, what am I doing? Like, this was so self-destructive. When I wanted to post, like, when I went to weigh in and I was just so, like, upset because I didn't lose. And then I'd post and be like, oh, I didn't lose.
You only lost 1 pound this week.
Yeah, half a pound. And then I just got caught up in that world online, that, like, weight. And it's really damaging.
Why did you start your account in the first place? Or why did you start losing weight? Yeah. Because you always felt insecure?
Yeah, always had a problem with my weight. Always had a problem with my weight. Always wanted to be small. Always wanted to be petite. I genuinely believed that I would have success and I'd be happy once I was slimmer.
Okay.
Wow. And I was convinced of that. I was like, I'll do it. I've done every diet going, like, Cambridge, Weight Watch it. Like, if there's a diet, I've probably done it. Like, I've definitely done it and tried it and failed.
Beyonce, cayenne pepper.
Yeah, everything. Mm-hmm. Even the baby spoon. I did that once.
Oh,
that's...
Yeah, I know. I tried the choo choo diet. It's like a Victorian diet. So,
what the fuck is a choo choo diet?
So,
I've got kids, I'm allowed to get on a train.
So you basically have to chew your food for a certain amount of times. And if there's any food left, you spit it out and spit out.
No.
That's actually
isn't it when you look back and you're like, it's actually so wrong. Is that
what, no. Yeah, that's what they used to do in the Victorian time. They would spit out.
That's insane. What was the moment, though, that you thought, I can't do this anymore?
So when I had Sophia, she was born 2012. Me and Trevor split up in 2014 at the beginning of the year. And I was like, right, you're going to leave me with this baby. I'm going to look good. So I went on Cambridge. I lost loads of weight. And then one day she asked me if she was fat. She was only like 2 or 3. And I was like, well, right, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
Like, we are done. Like, this is never happening again. So I just had to reevaluate what am I teaching her, because you can tell them all the things you want, but they do what you do, not what you say. So
that is a fucking lie. Yeah,
like, literally, if I said to her, you're beautiful, you're amazing, I could tell all of that.
Yeah.
But then if I'm the one who's like, oh, but I hate myself, she's gonna be like, okay, this doesn't add up. Like, this isn't what I think it is.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I need to sort myself out. So I just stopped. I just completely stopped. I just decided that there's more to life than this.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't go out socially because I couldn't eat, and I couldn't eat what everyone else was eating because I was like, oh no, I can't eat that. And so when everyone I was just so done with it. So I unfollowed loads of accounts that made me feel crappy.
And you're like, you're so empowering.
Yeah, I know. I loved it. And don't get me wrong, there's some women in the like weight loss community that I met online who are amazing. I've become really good friends with, but that's just not what I'm about now, and it doesn't make me happy. It doesn't fill me with joy. And then I was like, right, I need to find all these like thick girls. I need to go on a mission. Like, and I just started finding all these accounts that massively empowered me. And I was like, oh, this is so much better. And then that was it. And I kind of took it from there. And then I started sharing that. I tried to be more encouraging to other people. I tried to share where I was coming from. And then it kind of went from there, I guess. Yeah.
And then did you start just incorporate your mummy stuff?
Yeah, I think naturally, because I had Sophia, I would just talk about being a mum, and I was always quite honest about parenting. Like, people, I had someone the other day who commented, and they were like, I talked about going on holiday about the kids, and they were like, oh my god, I'd never do that, the kids are like the air I breathe. I was like, fam, I am so ready to leave the kids, like, you don't understand. Yeah. I just wanted to be honest about that, because people online especially made out that it was like this amazing, and it is the most incredible job I have out of everything I do, but like, they get on my tits, like, literally. Like, it's nice to have a break, and I lost a bit of who I was, because I was always Sophia's mum.
Because I'm thinking Bella's about mum. That identity for like,
yeah, and people even like, when I was in the hospital, I remember when I had her, and people were like, oh, Sophia's mum. And I was like, my name's Jess. Like, call me by my name. Like, it and really also, threw me.
Having an account for weight loss, which is obviously a lot of people, their bodies are such part of their identity.
Yeah.
And being mixed race.
Yeah.
And then becoming a parent. It's like constantly, like, who is Jess without all of that?
Yeah. Every single label is so confusing. And even being mixed, I was always very, not necessarily confused, but I was never black enough for black people, and isn't white enough for white people, which is such a bold statement to make. And I know some people would be like,
I say the same thing.
Oh my god. But it's true. It's always felt really uncomfortable. Yeah.
Being
that was never enough.
Mixed race, you're mixed race in black spaces, and you're black in white spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that in itself is confusing. Bearing in mind, I never grew up with my dad, so I only met my dad. So my dad is the white parent, and I never met him until 3 years ago.
Oh wow.
So I grew up with my black mother in a Jamaican household and my Caribbean family. I didn't know anything different culturally. I didn't know. So I found it really confusing then when people were like, is that your mum? Because, or is that like, when I was little, they used to think she was our au pair or
Shut
our nanny.
Fuck up. What? Wow.
Yeah. I used to ask her all the time if she was our nanny because I've got a younger brother.
And would you say, how do you see yourself identify? Like,
and even more recently, like, I found this really hard, but I'd be like, oh, I'm black. But then people find that really strange. And I get it. And I wrote about this recently because I said, look, I might identify as a black woman in society. That's how I perceive to be, especially if people see my mum. But I naturally, without wanting to benefit from white privilege because I'm fair skinned, I've got blonde hair, I've got blue eyes.
You're white passing.
Yeah. So it's hard for me to say I'm black and then people go, oh, well, I'm insulted by that because actually you look like a white girl, so you don't get what we get.
I think when I look on your page, I'm like, oh, I get it. Because I met you in a space where it was predominantly there was like white women at this event.
And then me and you.
And then that was me and we connected.
What event was this?
It was a skincare brand.
Skincare brand. Super chill, super nice. But we we connected, and I get it. Yeah, where I'm like, I can see the privilege where people say, but with you, where I see your platform, I'm like, yeah, I definitely can see you. You're in those kind of spaces.
Yeah, and it's hard for me because I recently I had a brand, a mother and baby brand approached me to work with them, and I was like, yes, brilliant. And then they sent me the like pack of all their ambassadors. Everybody was white. So I went back and I challenged it and I said, okay, that's great, but everybody's white. Like, are you looking for more ambassadors? I will send you people. And I sent them a list. I sent them a list of, and not just, and when I say diversity, the diversity wasn't even just black and white. They had no gay parents. They had no disabled parents. There was no other parents that didn't just look like
cis
what we see.
White.
Yeah. So I went back with a list of like some of my favorite bloggers, some gay dads, some gay mums, some black mums, like black parents, everyone. I was like, here you go. Here's a list. I don't know what the outcome of that is, and I still signed the contract, but I was like, when I come to meet you, we have to have a talk about this, because my issue is, if my picture is then put on that, it still just looks like a page of white people. And so for anybody else, there's like a, the only time you would see it is if there's pictures of the children, and then obviously kids, my kids are brown. Well, one of them is, the other one is transparent. She looks like me. But they're just so different, but that's the only time you're going to see that diversity. Yeah. And I was so like, oh my gosh, I need to question it. And there was that whole thing with Beyonce, wasn't there? That she said no to Adidas. And I was like,
no to Reebok
and said yes to Adidas. Because I was like, oh, brilliant. I have Beyonce. She can afford to say no right now, I've got to be really realistic.
But you're still, it's difficult because you are still black. You're still mixed.
And I'm still questioning.
Just because you're white passing doesn't mean that you have to turn down an opportunity. That was meant for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's hard because I'm still questioning it. I'm not going in there signing a contract going, brilliant. I'm still raising it with them, which is crazy. You both work with brands. To mention that before you even start, you think, oh God, they're going to think I'm a troublemaker. Like, and I thought, no, I have to mention it because it doesn't sit right with me not to. But mama also needs to get paid because, and it's so hard because I'm like, I'm trying to do what I can, but where do you sit on that spectrum?
And also, it's sometimes, like I tell people, it's not always down to the marginalised people to help with the marginalised shit. Like, it's the people that have the privilege. So,
and that's where I'm trying to come from in terms of how I look.
Okay.
So I'm trying to say, right, I've got, there is some level of privilege here because I'm white passing, because I look like a white girl, essentially. So I need to use that to make sure I'm doing something better and I'm making a change. And there are some brilliant bloggers out there who will almost give up their seat. And recently we were all supposed to go to an event, which a group of mummy bloggers, and there was very, very, very little diversity. And a very, very privileged white woman stood up and said, I'm not doing this because there isn't enough. And she stood back and we were like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Which, to be fair, all of us did, and no one's doing the event now. But but it was so surprisingly for me to see someone get up and go, actually, no, this isn't right. And I was like,
I think it's because we constantly, one, yes, we need to get paid, yes, we like, we may be the token person and we're there, and then it's like, then we still have to be the voice. Because I remember I went to an event and these women were talking on a panel and stuff, and I was like, they're like, you know, there should be like more diversity and stuff. And I was like, great, but you're not going to turn that job down. Are you turning that job down and then bring that woman forward? So it's great. And I said that, and I said to them, like, do you ever stand up for us? You're saying it here now on a panel talk, and it sounds all lovely.
Yeah, because it's easy to say, though, isn't it?
Yeah, like, you know, did it, and I get bored of it. I'm like, yeah, but I'm the one that has to then be like, there's not enough space.
Yeah, and also it shouldn't be forced.
Yeah,
and it's also looking at the audience, because someone said to me, there was a I can't remember what it was now, and someone was like, well, I just think it's really wrong. And I was like, yeah, but what's their audience? Because actually, if their audience isn't a really diverse community, then naturally they're not going to choose a really diverse panel or a really diverse set of ambassadors, which is wrong in itself, but ultimately they are playing to their target audience. So
never thought of it like that.
So one of the things I looked at once was, it was a festival and camping, and I was like, oh, amazing. But then I don't know that many black people that camp. Like, let's be real, I didn't grow up camping. Did you grow up camping?
No.
Like, nobody really grew up. So actually, well, it's true, isn't it? Like, so who's their target audience? Are they really going to, you know, target a massive audience of diverse following because they expect all these black people to turn up at this festival and camp? Like, probably not. And I'm not trying to stereotype. I'm talking about my own personal experience.
Yeah.
And my mum, and she never took us camping, and I can't imagine her ever taking us camping.
Yeah.
And if I asked her, she'd probably look at me like, what kind of foolishness, like, and sleep outside, what do you think I paid the rent for? Like, do you know what I mean? And that's, so I've always had to think, okay, what's their target audience?
Right.
Is it right to raise this, or actually, is that where they're going with this? Because you can't force it.
Yeah.
And in turn, you said that you're very honest about parenting.
Hmm.
What reaction do you get from people? Because I've heard to the grapevine that the parenting mummy scene is wild.
Yeah, they go, yeah. You know when you don't even know where to start? Like, people go in. Like, you can talk about a lot of things and you start talking about parenting and the way you parent and people go off. It's the maddest thing. Bearing in mind, you're the one who pushed them out your hoo-ha.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I didn't push nothing out my hoo-ha. I had 2 C-sections. But that's my point. But you're the one who went through all that effort for someone else to say to you, that's not how you do it. It's so bizarre. So you get loads. So I'm trying to think of an example. I know people who have done the bottle and boob thing is huge. Like, are you breastfeeding or bottle feeding? Yeah, that would be a forever long battle between everyone. And I stay pretty neutral. And naturally, because I am pretty neutral, like, I really don't care. As long as your baby's fed and you're happy. Like, why are we moaning about it? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I don't get that. But there are other things, like leaving your kids to go on holiday. People went crazy. People were like, oh my gosh, that's so selfish. How disgusting. I cannot parent my children if I'm not me, if I'm not at a certain headspace, if I'm not,
you're not happy.
Yeah, if I'm not, how am I supposed to give them what they need when I'm like pouring from an empty cup? Yeah. It's not gonna happen. And I needed that. So it was just really bizarre. And then you've got all the forums and all the hate.
Yeah, so I've heard about Mumsnet.
And do you know what's horrible? Mumsnet as a brand and as a company is lovely. And I've worked with them before. And I've worked really, with Mumsnet. And it's really hard for them, I think.
What is Mumsnet?
So it's just like a, I can't even explain it. Just like a mum's website where you can find loads of parenting advice. And they have forums. So the forums are, I guess, a little bit separate to what they offer, but they offer a platform where people can voice their opinions and people voice their opinions, and there's loads of these hate sites, and that's not necessarily a hate site, but there's loads of forums that people just go in on, and I've had people literally, so I don't check them. For me, it's almost like self-harming because I go on there and
self-deprecating behavior.
And I go on there and then I'm just like in this downward spiral of, oh my God, everyone hates me. Oh my God. Yeah. So I don't bother. But people love to send screenshots. I don't know why they love to.
Everyone loves a screenshot.
Why? But what I always, and I challenged a girl on this recently. She sent it to me and I said, okay, one, what are you doing fastening yourself up on there for you to even see that comment about me?
Yeah.
Two, does that mean you're talking about someone else? Because even if you're talking about someone else, I don't want you in my space because I don't think it's... Even if I don't like the person, it's not acceptable behaviour for me. Yeah. So why are you on there in the first place for you to then find yourself to screenshot to send it to me? Nah, fam, bye. She's like, I thought I was doing you a favour. What favour is that?
Show me that everyone fucking hates me and that I'm a shit mum.
Yeah, and literally that's what people say. You're a shit mum. Someone threatened to call social services. They were talking about calling the social services because, and this makes me laugh, the kids don't eat a varied diet because I did a poll 2 weeks in a row about what takeaway we should have. Because, you know, not flinging up a picture of my spag bowl clearly means that I don't feed them or cook. But
it's a fucking privilege to even feed your children a fucking very nutritious diet. So who the fuck is this bitch then?
Honestly, This is
what we aren't getting was beans on toast.
Yes.
Chicken nuggets and
fish fingers.
Bare beige.
Bit of like potato wedge. Yeah, what the fuck?
I know, people go eat
and feed them avocado and shit.
Do you know what I mean? I ain't got no money for avocado and toast, you know? Like, I don't get what people, but what I think surprises me is that these are, and I'm only assuming it's women because based on the nature of some of the comments that they make, these are people who have children.
Mm.
And if they deem that that kind of language and that behavior and that, you know, I can hate on this person. I'm entitled to talk about them how I like. If they have that, that is what they're telling their children, and that is what they're feeding down to be acceptable. I would be horrified if Sophia came home and said, I said this to this person and it wasn't nice. Like, the only thing I hope for my children is that they're nice people and they're kind people. And so I find it shocking. Like, some of the comments that, like, people go in, like, someone said, oh, her house is a mess. I was like, you've never been to my house. Like, it is a mess, but, like, you've never been there, so good guess. But, like, people just, every little part
people
of your
life. People feel so entitled.
It's the entitlement. Yeah. And I'm not saying people can't not like you. Like, I welcome, not welcome, but I'm happy for people to say, actually, Jess, I don't agree with that because of. Bring it. Let's talk it out. We're women. Let's empower each other with knowledge. Let's talk about things. Yeah. Let's give each other information and say, I don't agree with that because of this, because this is where I'm coming from. But don't just go on a forum to say, oh my God, she's such a fat CUNT.
Yeah.
Do you know? Because there's no value in that. There's like one guy, and I went on the first time I did go on and I replied to every single comment.
Oh my God.
So but I wasn't horrible.
Was this years ago or?
Probably about 3 years ago. And I went on and I replied to every single comment and I wasn't horrible. The first comment was someone said, I'm so glad someone started a thread about her. I've been waiting for someone so I could talk about her. So I just replied and was like, I don't know what else you need to do in your life that you've been waiting for someone to talk about me, but maybe you need to sex your husband. Like, go do something. Like,
go and suck some
dick. Do you know what I mean? Go find some entertainment somewhere. And I wasn't horrible apart from that one. I wasn't that horrible to everyone, but I just, you know, I asked questions. I said, okay, I get that. And someone was moaning about how late my kids are up because they were in my stories. Well, actually, it was mainly Sophia because she was the only kid that I had then. And they were saying really horrible things about her. She's a brat, she's got this, she's that. And so I went back and I said, if you're free, and I gave this lady dates, I said, come to my house and do the sleep bedtime routine with me. Show me how to do it. If you think what you've nailed for your children works, I welcome that. And one lady said, you know, I love watching her lives, but I get really distracted when her daughter pops up. And I went back to her, I said, if you had just slid into my DMs though and said, look, I love watching your lives and listening to you, but when your daughter like screams or shouts in the background, like I get really distracted, I would have gone cool and I would have timed them after bedtime. Do you know what I mean? Like, that for me was constructive to some degree, but why people felt the need to go and make it into this really nasty thing. And I replied, anyway, the website blocked me.
They
sent me an email and said, this is a place for people to talk about you and not to you.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's what they said. And they blocked me. So I couldn't go on and reply. And someone even apologised. Someone replied on the thread and was like, do you know what? Fair play to you because you've come on and you replied. I didn't talk about it on Instagram. I didn't send all these people to this. I just went on and talked to people. I just communicated with these people because I wanted to see what they really thought. I wanted to see if they would be brave enough to have that conversation with me. And some of them were. Some of them were great, to be fair. Not great, because I was like, you know, they were quite nasty to me at the beginning. But they were quite open to going, do you know what? Respect. You came on, we're having a level conversation, blah, blah, blah. And that was it. But it was really bizarre. I've never gone back on from then. And I think when the website blocked me, it was the universe telling me to stop fasting myself up. And just, use it somewhere else. So I've never done it again. But I just find it weird. The mummy Insta bloggy, I just don't get it.
Does it ever make you question whether you want to share your children on the
internet? Absolutely.
Because a lot of people block out their children's faces and things like that.
Yeah.
Does that ever worry you?
Yeah, I've definitely considered it. I've definitely thought, oh my gosh, am I doing the right thing? Because I'm literally putting them essentially in the firing line for people to be horrible about. But then I thought, well, I've come too far. The internet's forever. I've posted so much about them and their pictures. It's everywhere anyway. So even if I stopped and started to change that, I kind of,
because I think
really
once you officially put a child out there, if you've officially done it on your page, then it's open.
It's open.
So like Michelle Hume, she doesn't post her daughter, so no one can.
And I met her at an event.
Yeah,
and saw that, and they are so cute. But I wouldn't then take any pictures near. Like, you just respect that about people. The kids were all playing, but then I wouldn't take any pictures of them because, and she didn't have to ask me that. That to me was just standard.
Yeah.
Like, respect of someone else's privacy. Plus, you wouldn't really take pictures of other people's kids anyway. But even when I'm out, I don't. And even if I've been at a blog event, I've always said to someone, I'm taking a picture and your kid's in the remit. Is that okay? But I definitely thought, is this the right thing to do? Yeah. Sophia loves it. But I guess she's in that generation of, like, YouTube. Yeah. So she's like, hey guys, like she does this weird American accent because she watches so many like weird YouTube videos of kids opening Kinder eggs. But she loves it.
Yeah.
So I kind of go with it. And there are times where she's been in a campaign and she's like, I don't want to take that picture. And then I cry because I'm like, her mummy's getting paid, you need to take the picture. But I won't take it if she really doesn't want to take it. Okay. And we don't. Okay. And I've emailed brands and gone, I can't get this to you this week, she don't want to take the picture. And it might sound really pathetic, but I have to. It's
consent. Yeah, it's your child, consent.
Yeah, she has to. If she does not want to take the picture, I can't take the picture. I can't force her. Plus, you'll see it in her face anyway because she'll just look vexed. Like, so like, there's no point even trying to fake it because her face is so
pissed off.
She'll be like, "I don't want to take this picture," like, and you can see it. So I try where I can to make sure they have. Obviously, Bella's like. One. And she's happy anyway, but yeah.
And recently you've now shown your partner Trev.
I know. Yeah.
So before, because
he was proper hidden.
I used to hear you talking about him on your profile, yeah. But now you've decided.
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird move for us because it's been years and he's just always been in the background, literally in the background with the back of his head in pictures. Like I've just never, the only day I shared a picture of him was on our wedding day. And I just haven't really. And then recently I go to therapy and I found actually I really exclude him from that world.
Mm.
We don't share that. And so I get all into it and he's very much just in the background.
Yeah.
And it was a massive thing for us. I didn't realise it was such a big thing, but it was a big thing. But he's quite introvert. He's like a bit like awkward in a really funny way. So I didn't think he'd be really that into it. And actually, I kind of regret giving him the camera now because now he's like loving vlogging and gets on my tits. But like, he's really good and really enjoys it.
Yeah.
And actually, we've had a lot more fun as a couple doing that together.
Nice. You might feel more like appreciated and needed, maybe. And
yeah,
wanted.
Absolutely. Mm. And he, you know, now I'm like, oh my God, can you do it? And he's really good at consistency. So he'll be like, Jess, have you uploaded that? You need to do that. Whereas I'll upload a video and then not upload a video for ages, or I'll edit this. Or like, yeah. I'm not very good with that. And
so
he's
now he's
really
holding you
accountable.
Yeah, that's nice.
Absolutely. And we've just had so much more fun with it. I think definitely for us, this year is about us as a couple.
Yeah.
More so, we're going on holiday this year 2 times on our own without the kids.
Where are you going?
So we go to Cancun in 5 weeks. Hey, I'm like crazy. Don't let me go near your wardrobe. so we go, and then we're going to Vegas.
Oh well. Wow!
Because we both turned
30.
Yeah, we both turned 30. So we're going for my birthday to Cancun, and then his to Vegas, which is going to be amazing. We're taking the kids away, obviously, like whatever. But I think. Especially as a young married couple,
yeah.
It's really easy to just get lost in
the sauce.
Yeah, and just the world and other people and the internet. And so for us, it's definitely a year of us.
You said she was in therapy.
Yeah.
What has that journey been like for you?
At first, I just wanted to cuss every week because I was like, what?
What?
It's hard. Yeah. I specifically sought out a black woman as well.
Okay.
And I wanted someone who understood culturally where I was coming from. Yeah. I grew up in church. There was a lot of dynamics to a Caribbean household that I wanted someone to be able to say, okay, I see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah.
And she's incredible, my therapist. At first, I was a bit like, why are you just asking me my life story? And I want to cry. I want to feel something. Like, come on. And then I started feeling something. I was like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't come next week. And she's brilliant at making me own it and be accountable for my behaviour. And sometimes I leave and I'm like, whatever. It's stupid foolishness. Like, Shane, don't know what she's talking about. And actually, she does. She very much does. And it's been a tough
It's being
journey.
Seen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being exposed.
Yes.
And I find therapy difficult when I've gone in there with something.
Yeah, yeah.
And my therapist isn't backing me up and I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. This is my fault.
This is my
fault.
I'm
like, nah. And then I've realised, I've got toxic shit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel like, you go, wow, I am exposed. Yeah.
She asked me the other day, as well, how honest are you when you come here? And I was like, yeah, like, really honest. Like, and then I was like, that seems to be something. And actually, I realised, and she was like, you know, you have to be at a level of honesty to get anything out of it. Yeah. And I realised, sometimes I wasn't. Sometimes I didn't want to own up to when I started the argument or when I was being a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to be like, no. So Trevor, he said this, and she was like, well, maybe he had a point. He never has a point. He doesn't have a point. I'm right. I'm always right.
I'm always right. How
always
dare
right.
you question that?
Yeah. And it's really, really interesting when someone says, actually, hun, know.
Yeah.
But it's, for me, it's the thought process that I get left with after. So she's very good. I get homework to some degree every week, and she says, you know, you need to think about this and this, and come back with it next week.
Bring it into your awareness.
Yeah, whether you need to write yourself a letter, whether you need to think about this, whether you need to write a plan, whether you, she always gives me something to leave with, and then I'm thinking about it for the rest of the week, and then all my actions are suddenly a bit different, and I'm thinking a bit different. I literally tell everyone to try. It's not cheap. That's the hardest part. Yeah. I always say to people, do look at the resources you've got in your area, because there will be...
Yeah, so my therapist was talk therapy, so through like through NHS.
Yeah.
So my first therapist, she was white, and then my latest one has been black. But I remember walking into the room and she's there, and I was just like, and it was different.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I didn't get on with my other therapist, she was amazing, but I did notice when I would go there and I'm trying to explain things, I didn't feel like I was over-explaining.
Yeah.
Like, I have to now explain to you why this is it, because you culturally don't understand, but it's like, she got it.
Yeah, and that's why I went there. And also because I, maybe to some degree, wanted someone who I could almost treat like a mum or an auntie,
mm-hmm.
and having that capacity.
Yeah.
And she's definitely been that. But I do try and say to people, just do it. Like, you've got nothing to
do. What was your reasons for going to therapy?
Just had Bella. Start? So I started last year, April. So Bella was probably 4 weeks old, 5 weeks old. Okay. And I was just angry. I was angry at Trevor. I was angry because I was just angry, and then I felt really down, and I kind of just was like, this was a long time coming. And whilst I was on maternity leave, I wanted to take advantage of the fact that I could go whenever I needed to go. So I was like, okay, well, shit. And I used to take her with me every week, which was nice, I guess, for my therapist. It's like a year long, and she's like, oh, she crawls and stuff, because she was like this tiny little thing when I went. But I knew I needed to talk. I needed to get it off my chest, and I wanted to take advantage of the fact that I wasn't at work every day. So I went.
Do you think it's helped you become a better mum?
Yeah, absolutely. And I talk about the kids all the time, and just owning some of the accountabilities. Okay, why is my child behaving this way? Maybe it's Sophie because she's six. Well, actually, is there something I'm doing in my parenting style that isn't right for them? We talk about love languages, and especially for children, you know, does Sophia get it the same way I'm trying to give it to her?
Yeah.
And
that is,
and that's massive, because I just expect her to know I love her because I'm her mum, so don't be so ridiculous. I'll do that in a minute. And actually, she very much is a acts of service devotion. That's her love language. You need to sit down and play tea parties with her. Or actually, to be fair, she's quite good, and she loves Netflix, which is fine.
Aww.
And she's like, mummy, can we, tonight we're gonna have girls night, we're gonna watch a film, we're gonna have snacks. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's how she knows mummy loves her. Whereas I think, well, I'm buying you stuff, and I'm like the practical, logical mum, and actually that's not where she feels comfort or where she feels supported. And that's been massive. And actually the last year, her behavior and just her whole, the way she is as a child, has been completely different.
Do you parent I find it interesting in terms of our generation that's going to therapy, especially if you have a black background, because people don't talk about mental health in the Caribbean.
No one needs to know.
Do you how's that impacted therapy, and also do you parent different to how your mum parented you?
Yes. Definitely parents slightly different. I'm very much like my mother. I'm born the day after, well, not literally the day after her, because that would be weird. But like, on her 21st birthday, she gave birth to me, and I was just born the following day. So, I'm literally a small version, pale version of my mum. And she did the best she could. I absolutely recognise that now. And we have got a much better relationship now I'm an adult, and we're really good friends, than we ever did before. We spent a long time not getting along at all. And actually, it's funny, because when I first started going to therapy, I remember her saying, my therapist saying to me, what bits of your mum's parenting do you want to take on, and what bits don't you? And I was like, oh, that's really mean. And actually, it's my perspective as a child. And then I suddenly thought, okay, how's Sophia perceiving me? Because I now know my mum did stuff because she loved me, whereas at the time I was like, you just don't love me, you don't want me to do anything and have any fun. Do you know, as a child, because that's what you think, don't you? Why can't I go to the park and drink White Lightning? Like, what? Why can't I do that with my friends at 15? Well, it's because you can't, because it's not safe. But you didn't think that at the time. And I definitely parent slightly different to her. And I think, it's because we are that generation that goes to therapy and probably addresses it more. My mum's really good. My mum's really open, and talks about it a lot. She comes to most of my events and talks as well, and love from that. Her perspective. And I guess,
you just rethink things. Yeah. And yeah. I think it's always interesting to understand what parts of your parents' parenting you did you really love.
Yeah.
And what parts you didn't.
I feel like I'm in therapy right now.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Oh, guys. So, I totally want to become a therapist. I know, I love it.
You should train.
I know. I did look at it and I was like, should I? And then I was like, that's just like another...
You should do open college courses, though.
Yeah.
So I finished my sexual trauma survivor course next week.
Which is amazing.
I love this.
How are you feeling about it?
Great.
That's so cool.
I found it so fucking easy.
You will. And yeah. When I did some courses, and then people were sort of around me like, why does she know her shit? I was like, yes.
When you
finally have space.
Life experience will always transcend.
Oh, absolutely.
Because people, you'd sit there and people were, because I had to go do, it was like safeguarding children with sexual abuse and stuff. And I'd sit there and then people are there. I'd be like, no. And I was like, I finally have a space. Yeah. But actually, I do know myself. Because some people always say to me, no, Simone, you've had your personal experience, you know, you should leave the professionals. I'm like, actually, no, I can bring it and I can still be professional.
Yeah,
so that's
absolutely.
Why sometimes I've always said, oh, maybe I can't be a therapist because I've been through it.
No.
And I can't put myself in this space. But just speaking about therapy and like parenting, like when I went back to therapy, the woman brought up my mum and I cried so much about my mum. She's like, I can tell you adore your mum. I was like, no, I really do. But there's like stuff there. And it's just, with the whole love.
But
that
makes you feel like a bad child.
Yeah.
Because I for a long time, didn't want to say anything bad about my mum.
Yeah, that's
my mum was a single mum. I was like, she worked hard. I got defensive. Yeah. I was like, what do you mean? She worked so hard.
Yeah.
She did. But actually, there are things I have to recognise and I have to deal with on a deeper level.
Hard.
Yeah, it is.
Then my therapist said, well, you were sort of neglected as a kid. And I was like, oh my god.
Therapy
brings up some wild fucking shit.
It does.
And I think sometimes, like, if you're like, I really struggle being angry. Like, I'm never really angry.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm either passive aggressive or I'm crying. Like, it's I haven't learnt to be angry yet. So, like, in therapy, when all this stuff was happening, I was like, I'm fucking fuming.
Yeah.
But I have no idea where to place this anger. How do I even feel the anger? But there's just so much to unravel.
Yeah. There is. And when you start doing it, it's almost like, oh my God, I can't stop now. It's all coming up. But oh my gosh, there's so many things I've gone, oh, I feel so much better. And I didn't even realise it was a thing to feel better about.
Yeah.
Like, you just breathe.
Yeah.
How do you have... So for me, and probably Simone too, after therapy, I need to have like some serious self-care.
Yeah.
Either it's like a really kiddie meal, like for my inner child, or the next day I usually have off work so I can like rest.
Yeah.
But you've got kids.
Yeah.
So how do you just manage your life?
I like to think I'm pretty organised. So I am a bit like, so at home we've got like a board and it has everyone's names on and the week's plan. Every Sunday night I put everyone's week's plan on there. And then the girls have a plastic set of drawers which have Monday to Friday on, and then I set all their clothes out for the week. So that's done. Trevor does the school run and breakfast every morning, and I leave to go to work. So I guess our routine just makes it easy.
I love that.
Therapy Thursdays are for me, and it is a bit difficult. Sometimes I have to, like last week I went there and then went to work. So I kind of deal with that, and I don't have time to then kind of process what I'm thinking about, which isn't always good because then sometimes I harbour all that.
Do you feel
the
difference?
I get home, and then I'm like,
isn't it?
Yeah. Lunatic. And Trevor's like, what the hell? Or I just text him abuse all day at work. Well, why didn't you do this? He's like, what are you on about? Because I actually don't have time to process it.
Yeah.
So on maternity leave, it was brilliant. I had a really good routine. I went to the same coffee shop every day. I'd go. So they were used to me just sitting in the corner crying. Like, they didn't say nothing. Like, they'd bring me over a cup of coffee and just leave me. But that was great. And it was really difficult when I went back to work. Because I was like, oh my gosh, I can't.
You have to live
this.
Life as well
as you. So it is tough, but I definitely up self-care. So Fridays, I always work from home anyway. So I tend to have a slightly earlier night on a Thursday, which is random because I'm working from home. So really, I should have a later night. And I have a hot bath. I have my candles.
Yeah.
I've suddenly got into crystals recently, which I'm like obsessed with.
Yeah,
I'm
obsessed
with crystals. Even Sophia's really into them as well. So she has two. She was absolutely devastated because she left one at an event on Saturday. And I had to explain to her, actually... We were done with that one. It's gone to somebody else now, and you need a bigger one, a better one. And she was like, oh, okay. And she's loving life now.
There's a theory. So, obviously, children are closer to the spirit world because they've been in the world, this world, for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
So, my old therapist, Emmy, I'm really good friends with her oldest, Dixie, she's got a whole collection of crystals. And I bought her a rose quartz and she cried. And I was like, you are literally like an actual indigo child. Like, what?
I call Sophia an indigo child. Like, I'm
when they know, they just know.
Yeah, and she's really... So people would probably say she's precocious to some degree, and I would always be like, what is... But actually, she just questions everything, and she has every right to question everything. And she just, well, why are we going to do that? Well, that doesn't... So like the other day, she's really... matter of fact, so I was like, I'm doing 50 things. Well, no, you're not, Mum. You're doing two.
Oh, and you're like, oh, hello.
Girl, don't. And she's like that. And now I've bought crystals because she used to not, I wouldn't say she had behavior problems, but she really would get so in her feelings.
She sounds like an indigo child.
Yeah, she could not function. She would just lose it. And recently it's like, okay, so she loses it. And I try and see how long she's going to go to see if she'll calm down. And she doesn't. And I pull out a crystal and she's like, okay. And then she'll sit with a crystal and then she'll just suddenly calm down. Someone said to me, you know, that's ridiculous. I said, mate, even if she just thinks it's a thing, she thinks it's a thing.
Yeah.
So leave her with that thing. Yeah. And she loves it. And it's really weird when I start talking about it. She was like, oh my gosh, these are things that come from like caves and under the ground. I was like, oh my God, my kid's a genius. I was like, yes. Oh my God,
she fucking is a genius.
She is. And I was like, yes. And then we started Googling them. And then I was like, oh my God, this is a thing we need to do together.
It's your thing. That's your thing.
Exactly. And she loves it. And so, yeah, I've just learned how to do things that make me feel good. Candles, crystals, baths, boom, booze.
And I love when you're sitting on the toilet having a little
toilet talk.
She has a toilet talk.
I don't know where I was.
She's like, guys, everyone's just in bed and stuff, so I'm just in the toilet.
I'm just in the toilet. I never do a poo while I'm on it, and I always have to like caveat that so people don't get freaked out.
But so they're like, not messaging on the phone.
Yeah, she did a shit on your face. Like, people go mental, but like, yeah, I do. I love it. I just want to I just don't get why people don't share and let people share and be comfortable that people share.
Do you know a reflection of themselves though?
Absolutely.
I admit, like, I've learned that, and I've really, freedom. Like
someone said to me, one of the comments once was, oh gosh, her content's all over the place. 1 minute she's, and I was like, because my life is essentially, that's my life. I do 50,000 things.
Yeah.
So one day I will post about, you know, like today I posted about my new kitchen and my kids and sex. But that is my life.
The thing is, people are so obsessed with curation and a created feed and a mummy blogger that has like all white and grey house, and that's just not fucking is it though?
No.
So there you go.
No. Things are covered in crayon and Play-Doh.
Do you ever think about like changing your platform the way it is, or being like, oh, okay, maybe I should switch up, and you're just like, no, this is my truth, I'm owning it. Like, have you ever had moments like a phase, or have to make it look this way?
I think you go through a phase when you look at other people and you think, why are they getting all the success or this and I'm not, maybe it's, and then I just thought, actually, what people love on the internet is someone they can relate to. Mm-hmm. End of story. So actually, just being me is going to be enough for some people and too much for some and not enough for others. And that's okay.
Love that.
I just have to own it. And I do own it. Like the picture I put up of my kitchen, there was shit everywhere. But I could have moved the pots into the cupboard and I could have just taken an Instagram picture. But actually, the reality was, Sophia was in a leotard that I don't even know where she got from in the house. Bella was covered in chocolate in her high chair, like, scrounging for snacks. Like, the pots were on the side. They were clean, to be fair. But the pots were on the side. The kettle was... like, that's what my house is. There was ASOS packages on the table. But that is my house.
Like me?
Yeah, that is what my life is like. Yeah. So why wouldn't I... That's just a reflection of it. Everyone has a shit corner in their kitchen or the shit drawer.
Yeah, when you showed that, I was like, everyone has a drawer.
So many people messaged me and were like, oh my God, thank you for sharing your shit corner. And they were sending me pictures of their shit corners, the stairs.
The shit room. Crap. I've got a shit room right now.
People were like, just shit. And I was like, because that is real. And there are some people in the world who do have perfectly beautiful houses.
But I think they're just fucking psychos.
Yeah. Or have cleaners and maids and stuff. And that's fine. That is fine. But actually, that's not me. And that's not my life. And that's,
I mean, Monica, I don't know if anyone watches Friends, but Friends,
who doesn't
Monica,
watch Friends,
she had that, remember when Chandler found that little secret room and it was messy, he's like, you are look at you having a room full of mess. Like,
but that's,
I think,
what
everyone
need.
Has a thing,
everyone but... does. And she had a little Hoover to clean the big Hoover. I freaking love Monica. Oh, bloody loving.
Oh my God. This has been a really interesting chat, but I want to ask, what is your favourite thing about what you do? Because you do so many things.
Online?
Yeah, for life in general.
Making people laugh.
Yeah.
And actually, recently, I've been doing a lot about healing, and I went to a retreat recently, which was incredible.
Was that the one in March?
No, I went to one. I ran a retreat.
Oh,
which was amazing. In March. That was incredible. But I went to a retreat in April. and it was so much fun.
What was it called? Was
Get Lit Retreat with Aisha Carrington.
I think she's mentioned me about doing some stuff with her.
You so should. She's amazing. And she had a crystal lady who was even.
Oh, that's my spiritual advisor, Amber.
Amber!
Oh, my best friend.
Oh my god, yeah. She's amazing!
I'm just texting her, I'm going to hers after this.
No! Yeah. Oh my god! I'm gonna cry.
Yeah,
Amber's like, she's like, that's who I bought my crystals from.
Oh, that's so Amber and her mum Mandy are like my
And I had a reading with her the other day. Mm-hmm. I love her, like, honestly, love her.
Yeah, I absolutely
love Amber. And I literally met her. I was staring at her. She's absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
And I was staring at her for ages, like, literally just like, oh my god, oh my god, I want to be the girl's friend. Oh my god. Yeah. Oh, see, I was like, oh my god,
she just connected.
Amber.
Yeah. Oh.
Aww.
I love her. That's so good, my crystal. But making people laugh. And it's funny because I did a reading with her and she, weirdly enough, was like, I can see you on stage. I can, all these things that I wanted to come out, she was just saying. And
yeah.
She was like, and you know, you're going to talk really about some really serious matters, but you will always have comedy. That's what you're doing. And I was like, I haven't told anyone that. Like, that's so true.
My therapist always said to me, she's like, Simone, you know you use like humour. I was like, yeah, fine, it's good. I like it.
I
and we all have a coping mechanism.
Yeah, and
this
that's
is what I do.
And I think it makes people feel like they can share because they suddenly don't feel that pressure. It's all really serious.
It hasn't got to be heavy and dark all the time. You've got a mental health issue. Sometimes you've got to fucking laugh about it because otherwise it gets depressing.
It gets deep and dark it's scary. And actually, when someone suddenly goes, but you know what? And they laugh about it, you're like, oh, actually, I feel a bit better. So making people laugh is absolutely my favourite thing to do on the internet. And if I can give the messages I want to give, which is it's okay to not be okay, and I don't give a finger in the middle what size you are, you're sexy as shit. If I can give those messages by being humorous, then like that is literally where I need to be and what I need to do. Amber said it as well, so obviously it's going to happen.
Obviously.
What's your relationship like now with your body since, I guess, having children?
I probably love it more so because I'm like, damn shit, like, you created a whole human. Like, I don't think people get it. Like, I get so...
I can't wait to get it, but I do.
Oh my God, I feel so old when we talk about it.
Just,
I'm like, no, wait.
She always messages me. It's so weird because we're both, like, 30 in June and stuff. And then I look at hers and I'm like, oh, babes, I love, like... And then she's like, no, give me your life. It's so weird.
Yeah, like, you do. Because I like the freedom
you
have.
Yeah, she's like, Simone, you have freedom.
That's amazing. Like, the kids, I absolutely... I literally, my children are everything. And they're the reason why I get up in the morning, but like they're also the reason I don't sleep.
That's what I love.
I need
about
a hot minute, do you know what I mean? And you need to balance. I can't remember what I was saying now because I'm laughing
body.
So much.
Oh, body,
I love it. And I think it's because I realise how much it does for me.
Mm.
And I watched a thing about healing on Netflix. Have you watched it?
Mm. No, she's told me to watch it.
It's so good. And it's a bit weird, but to some degree. But what I found fascinating about it was the fact that your body heals. Like, your body does so many incredible things that we don't even know the science behind. How can you not?
And also, how can you not believe in like something other than science? Like, basically, I'm gonna do a video on it. But so I've had a really fucked up womb from being on the pill, and my doctors couldn't find anything wrong with me, and it was like constant tests. And I said, this is my trauma.
Mm.
I was bleeding for like months, years straight, just blood pouring. God. And I was like, this is my trauma leaving my body. I know for a fact it's that. I couldn't find anything, And then once I started doing healing and like breathing and meditation, of course I healed my own womb.
Honestly,
bodies are incredible.
You have to watch this. Have you seen them?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I'm obsessed. But tomorrow, when this is up, me and Grace are going to a womb healing.
Oh,
yeah. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I just, at the moment, I feel like my trauma's like really.
Honestly,
really
I definitely believe that we harbour those things.
Yeah.
And like this weekend specifically, I had a really bad headache, like a migraine headache. I was just lying in bed. Mm.
There was a new moon.
Yeah. Someone else said this to me. And then also, I said to Trevor, I'm dealing with something right now that I can't get off my chest, and I journal all the time, and I said to him, I need to deal with what's going on in my head because it's giving me a headache.
And
he was like, what was it? And I said, no, you don't understand, the pain is solely
from
how I'm feeling,
because
I'm not dealing with it. And it's basically saying to me, sort your shit out. And the fact that your body can do that, I've just fallen so much more in love with it to realise that actually it isn't even just about the way it looks. My whole focus solely was about way it looks. I need to love the stretch marks, I need to love the things, but actually when you look at it from a scientific perspective, and actually just from a fit, like, they are absolutely insane.
I find it interesting that you have also found spirituality as a way to heal, yeah. because mm-hmm. I think that the part of the reason that I've like ascended so far from where I used to be was because of the spiritual aspect of my recovery.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like when you start recognizing that I'm actually a really amazing soul and this is just like my physical self.
Yeah.
You look at yourself completely differently.
So differently.
Like, why would I hate this body that I chose to like reincarnate
yeah.
into?
Yeah. I've had, and I get when people go, but my body has done this to me and this has happened to me. And I get that. In between Sophia and Isabella, I had a miscarriage. And for ages, I beat myself up about it. What's wrong with my body? How did I break it that made this happen? And yeah. I couldn't understand it. And I was so angry at myself because I was like, I must be broken. Something is broken. Yes, I've done this before and I've got a beautiful baby. So what's happened now yeah. that I can't? And so I get that frustration when your body's done something or in your head you deem as letting you down. Mm-hmm. And so you can't yeah. connect with that and you get frustrated. And now I'm like, no, Jess, that there are things that happen that are out of your control mm-hmm. and that's okay. And because they're out of your control, when you start understanding that there's, I'm not sound really afraid, but a higher power, there is something else that,
yeah.
that takes control of that. You suddenly think, okay, I'm mad for no reason.
Yeah, nothing in life is in our control though.
No.
Like
that is what I've learned. Like you will, and you can resist all you fucking want.
Yeah.
And it's going to be harder to you unless you surrender to it. What will be, will be.
Yeah. And Trevor's really laid back like that. He's always been, well, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like,
it's that sense of control, though.
But he's so, like,
yeah.
laid back about
Sometimes
stuff.
You need that. You need someone to not really give a fuck.
Yeah.
And we are polar opposites. I'm chaotic and busy and crazy and running around like a lunatic. And he's just like, meh, whatevs. But we need that.
I
had someone even a little household. Bit close to me, too much. And if I had someone that, like, if I was similar to that, we would get nothing done.
Yeah.
So I needed someone who would just be like, why you should, like, what's the worst that could happen?
And you're like, says that to a me. Lot of fucking things could happen, actually.
Don't say it to someone with anxiety, because now I'm saying, well, this can happen, this can happen, and then if that happens, this is going to happen. And he's like, oh my God. Like, what do you mean the worst? There's so many worse. But actually, there isn't. And sometimes when I take a breath and go, do you know what, let me just get in the bath.
Yep.
And just chill the fuck out and put some like spa music, Sophia calls it, which was
whales,
spa music. Even she loves it now. We're all like zenning in the house, but yeah, put on my spa music, just zone the hell out and suddenly just let go of whatever I'm trying to do.
That
I can't.
Fucking letting, oh my god,
it's the letting,
you realize as well how many things in life are because of control,
yeah.
Like, the most random things could be, like, something could happen in a relationship and you bring up in therapy and they're like, oh, that's because you're trying to control again. And you're like, for fuck's sake. Yeah.
And also try and control things that haven't happened yet. Me and Trevor had a massive argument the other day. And when we looked back, we were like, we just argued about something that doesn't exist. Like, hasn't happened yet. Yeah. Probably isn't gonna, like, we are literally arguing over something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
How insane is that? Like, you might as well argue about your imaginary friend. Like, that is what we're doing. We're arguing about something in the future that could happen.
Yeah.
So it hasn't happened. So essentially is imaginary and we're arguing about it. And then we just literally started laughing and we're like, we're ridiculous.
So how much you need to just have sex to go over things?
Yeah, mate, all the time.
Honestly.
I've got two kids.
Honestly, you just need to just
all the time. All the time.
Just to get over it.
So sex with your damn self, mate.
Yeah, masturbate.
I wish they could see someone's face right now.
I know. She says I'm on one at the moment because I'm.
Listen, this girl's on dates every day.
Yeah, she's like.
She's on this thing.
Alright, so Jess, come in it.
Tell me, what is one thing that motherhood has taught you?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Unconditional love. Absolutely. From my mum's side, from my side, from my kids, there is just. You just suddenly go. Oh my gosh, that's what this all means.
And what has definitely. One thing that marriage has taught you?
She's hard, man. Sex makes everything.
Oh, I love that.
When in doubt, get his dick out.
That's fucking excellent.
But in all honesty, communication is key.
With dick.
But that always helps. But no, communication is key. And actually, you're never going to get anywhere if you don't communicate. And that includes looking at love language, but just communicating. And that might be different for everyone. Yeah. Me and Trevor argue better on WhatsApp because we have more constructive conversations on WhatsApp than we do face-to-face.
Okay.
So if there's something we want to raise with each other, we do it on WhatsApp, which sounds so ludicrous to some people. But actually,
it works.
So we end up not arguing because
You have it out on WhatsApp, and you can think as well what you're going to say.
And actually, we ignore the bites at each other because we take them not personally because they're on WhatsApp. You send a few emojis and we're like, okay, we're done. And then I come home and everything's fine. So we definitely communicate like that. But yeah, communication is key.
What is next for Jess as Jess? And what is next for Jess, the mum?
So mum-wise... I don't know, just really building my relationship with the girls.
Yeah.
We had such a lovely bank holiday weekend. We literally watched Netflix all weekend and doing more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And put my phone down. Mm. So even though we watched the screen together, actually just putting that down and doing old school things that we used to do when we were kids, go to the park, like that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Do that stuff with each other. And roll with this crystal thing because it worked for me and Soph. And it's just been amazing. Yeah. And then for Jess, I have wanted for so long to, and I've done loads of events, like empowerment events and had speakers and stuff, but I've really wanted for so long to have a show and to do a show.
A comedy show?
Comedy show.
Yeah, oh, you're a comedian. Yeah,
so I'm going to do a show.
No, do it.
Oh my God, do it.
And it's not going to be
I felt that.
I just want it to be empowering. I want it to be uplifting, but it's basically to come and cry and laugh.
Do it.
And I've wanted to do it for ages, and it was my call with Amber that literally made me think I need to do it. So that's what
sometimes you need someone to reaffirm what you're thinking.
Yeah, and for someone who had no idea
that
I was thinking that because I hadn't verbalised that to anyone, for her to say you're going to do this and this is what it's going to look like. Oh my gosh!
So last year, obviously, like I haven't been really on YouTube for a while, like consistently. I was in a really bad place after like my breakup last year, like through the summer. I had a birthday, hated it. And I had a massive reading with Amber with like 30 tarot cards came out. And she was like, all of this is your emotions. There's nothing about your career here. But what I will say is I feel like I'm getting a sign that you'll be back on YouTube, that like you'll want to do YouTube. And I was like, that's definitely not going to happen.
What am I doing this month?
I know, I just saw your video come up on my thing. I was like, bitch, your video just came up. I was like, you've been
three videos in fucking 2 weeks, mate. Yeah. Check me out.
She knows her stuff. She's so genuine. Yeah, she's amazing. And
I'm going to get on the podcast.
Absolutely. She affirmed to me completely that's where...
The sign from the universe. Yeah, she was the sign.
Yeah, she was like, you just need to do it. So that's what's going to come next.
Yes. I'll be there. Front row.
Front row, babes.
Front row.
Yeah, babes. We'll come.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Jess.
Thank you for having me.
No, honestly, it's been lovely.
It has.
I'm gassed now.